You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of me, and he was talking to Mox and Joe. Well, the party go hell. Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. Marco Bill here. And Tom couldn't make it to the show. He was planning on doing that, but he just didn't, he wasn't planning good enough. The mountains and the valleys and all the cell phone little towers just didn't agree with us tonight when we tested out. So you spent more time off the air than he did on, so we just decided I'd take it for tonight. Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to thank all of our listeners out there, all the people that sent me emails during the week, all the people that have called in during the week. We've had the hotline is very hot. Lots of people calling in and reporting in, encounters and experiences. All over. I mean, it's just, they're all over. It's in the, wintertime weather right now is just horrible. And you'd think during this period of time that we wouldn't have very much activity. But unfortunately we do. I mean, there's just lots and lots of things that are going on. So what I'd like to do tonight, we have a pretty good line of a guest tonight. What I'd like to do is just start the show out, and we're going to start off with our first guest. Now, many of you, many of you people out there have listened, and pretty much our areas cover for encounters and things, Canada, the United States, you know, all the states except Hawaii. But tonight is a little special, and we're going to have somebody who spent their childhood in Germany with their family, and they had an encounter in Germany. So what we're going to do is we're going to go down here to Janine, and she's from Kansas, and she had a pretty neat experience. But you know what I got to do? Here we go. I got to unmute you, Janine. Here you go. How are you, Janine? How are you tonight?
Oh, pretty good. I was excited to be able to do this. I've been wanting to do this for years to find out if anyone in Europe or anybody even said anything about anything like that in Germany where I was.
Well, you know, Janine, what I did when I got your phone call and your phone message, I did a little look up and research, and there have been many sightings in Germany and in Europe, obviously, but one of the most intriguing ones, and I've got it. I don't have it right here, but basically, way, one of the first recorded events goes way back into the times where we had the kings and the queens and the knights and esquires and things like that. And this one guy was traveling through a swampy area between France in Germany. He was a German, a soldier, but an officer. And he had an experience, and he had a write-up. And what was really neat was his write-up and his account of his encounter with this creature was very, very similar to what you told me.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Almost exact down to the description of the creature, down to the smell, everything, the hair, everything. It was really unique. And now this is it's been translated. And what I'll have to do is I'll have to post that, somewhere where people can take a look at it. But I mean, this is a translation of a guy hundreds and hundreds of years ago, 300-400 years ago, okay, that had an encounter with a creature. And he writes it down, and it's just like if he had an encounter today. Now, there have been many others in Germany, in and around Germany, and actually in other places in Europe as well. So I just want to let you know that you're not they have had encounters with these creatures. Now, one of the things about Europe and in Germany that's a little unique is their acceptance of the creature is not as open as we are here in the United States, and so it takes a lot of convincing or just an encounter like you had to convince them that they exist. But why don't you tell us basically what happened and about when, and take us through it. What were you doing in Germany?
My dad was, we had to go there because my dad got transferred to Germany, and we were there, supposed to stay away 3 years, but we stayed four. Hmm. And where we lived, we didn't get on base right away. We lived in this area outside Kirchberg in the woods. There was a long driveway and a big old circle thing that you can come up to the house that we were living in. And it was surrounded by woods. Except this one area, they liked to go and just go up there and sit down, and there was an open field. Not as big as a football field, but at least 40 yards across, maybe 60 yards down or long. And I was just sitting there. I've been there many a times. But that day, it was not winter. It was in 1975. I believe it was like spring, almost getting into summer. Pretty nice outside. And I was walked up to this knoll that looked over this little field. And I did that day, and I was picking stuff off the ground like I normally do. And all of a sudden, I just had this really god-awful smell. I mean, it's even hard to describe because you just think of death or something. It was so disgusting. And
was it kind of like could you compare it to like a, let's see, between a wet dog and rotten eggs and something like that?
Yeah. It was extremely strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like a very musky, nasty
musky
smell.
Kind of an odor, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you could, because the wind was blowing my way. I praise that because it never looked at me. You know, I happened to look up and he was
right. It was you were downwind from it, so it didn't detect you.
And you know, at my age, I'm thinking this is a monster. You know, and my mom and dad knew when I told them because I had actually wet myself when I looked up saw this thing. It was huge. It had no neck. It was just enormous, really thick, dark, with maybe a little bit of gray in it. And it was walking, but the way it was walking, it was just clearing that field easily. And as soon as he stepped into the other part of the woods on the other side, I ran back home.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and dad was not there, but when my mom got home, I had changed my clothes, and I was still shaking. And I told her what happened. And she goes, what has to be a bear or something, you know. I'm like, Mom, you know, bears are not around where we're at. And, of course, like I said, we never heard of Bigfoot. You know,
right.
I've never heard anything about it. And my mom and dad evidently didn't because they just, to me, I just told them I saw a monster. And
sure.
I described to them everything that I saw. And 4 months after that, we moved on base because I finally got the clearance, and I was so happy because I never went back to that knoll. It was not far away from my house. It was probably like, oh, shoot, 80 yards from my house to the top of that knoll, that grassy area, that I ran fast. I'm pretty sure I broke records. But it upset me so bad that my mom and dad knew I saw something, but they didn't know what I saw. Just like I really didn't. Because it looked human, but only in the sense that it was standing upright and walking.
Now, could you see any of the facial features at all of it? How far were you away from it?
I was probably 40 yards, and no, it crossed, and all I got was a side view.
No, I understand. Okay, and when you saw that side view, how did the arms look in proportion to the body?
Oh, my God. Big, extra long.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just when he walked, they didn't, like, really, they kind of swayed in a way, but not like we do when we do our arms.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he never looked at me, or it never looked at me, and I'm thankful it didn't, but after that day, I could not go back. I would not go out in the woods with my brothers or nothing. And my
mom, I don't blame
really,
you.
No, I was scared, and I told her that. I never went back out there, ever. And I used to go there all the time in the 2 years and 4 months that we lived out there.
My gosh.
But I never would go back.
What did the hair,
that bad.
What did the hair kind of look like? Was it long and stringy, or like matted, or could you tell that?
Yeah, it was matted, like a mess, and it was real long.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I knew it wasn't human, because it didn't have like a hairline, you know what I'm saying, or a neck. It covered everything.
Wow.
And like I said, it stank. I've never smelled something that bad before.
Yeah, well, that's one good side effect that we always have, too. A lot of the people have that.
If I hadn't smelled that, I probably wouldn't have even noticed them.
That's amazing, isn't it? So now, we obviously know that you believe in Bigfoot.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Because you see one.
I now know what I saw. Back then, I didn't know. I mean, I was only in the fifth grade.
Right.
You know, it scared me. And I told a few people, you know, and even when later on in my life, I told, like my kids, I told them what happened.
Sure.
My mom and dad believe me still, you know.
Oh, that's good. A lot of times, Janine, they don't. People
oh,
don't.
I know.
And what they do is they pass it off for a kid. They'll pass it off as, you know, an imagination.
Right.
You know, a bear, or, you know, just an imaginary, you know, monster or something like that. But
no, my parents believed me because I was that shaken up.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine you were shaken up, you know.
And it was very hard for me. My brothers got in trouble several times because our driveway is long and it sits between the two woods area that surrounds us.
Yeah.
And we have to go down there to catch the bus. And two times my brothers took off running. I went back to the house, and they got in trouble. They got their butts kicked big time. And they didn't do it very often after that, because I literally would not even try and run to catch up with them. I would just turn around and go back to the house and wait until mom and dad got home.
Oh,
that's
just
how much it affected me.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing. Now,
What
we have at the end of the show, you can listen to the rest of the show right here on the line. And as we near the end of the show, we're going to have about a 10 or a 15-minute period where we'll open it up for questions. And you may have some questions if you want to ask some of the other people that are on here tonight.
No, around here it's getting pretty late.
I know it is. It's getting around
and
about...
it's about 9:30 here.
Yeah.
And I have to wake up and take care of my granddaughter.
Okay, well, that's okay. Yeah. You can't make it. That's all right. But we do want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us.
And it really makes me feel better because I really thought at one time I was crazy.
Well, we want to welcome you to the world of Bigfoot.
You know, nowadays I almost wished, you know, I was older when I seen it, you know. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I wouldn't have been so scared of it, but... Yeah, in 1975.
I'm not too sure that age has anything to do with not being scared.
That's true.
I know some, Janine, I'm going to tell you, I know some grown people who peed their pants when they saw it also.
Yeah.
And they were like 40 years old. So.
And it's just how big it is.
Yes.
You know, it was just a giant. That's why I knew it wasn't human. Or someone in a costume because of the height of it.
Well, we want to thank you so much for sharing with us. And, and I'll keep in contact with you if you'd like.
Sure.
Once in a while, you have my number. You can call me anytime if you have questions or anything. And we've certainly enjoyed having you on the show, and thank you so much. And
thank you,
guys. And your family have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
You too.
Thank you, Janine.
Yep. Bye.
Good night now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Janine. And we're going to take a quick little break right here. We're going to go to a commercial. You'll be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at Searching for Bigfoot.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, and we're going to go out here to Four Corners, New Mexico, to our good friend Dave. Dave, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great, Marco Bill. Yeah.
Well, you sound great.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a little bit of that cold flu thing here, and but I beat it, and I feel pretty good.
I think we're all, man, I tell you what, the same thing going around all over. I can't believe it. It's some kind of crud. I'll tell you what, it just, I've had it about three or four different times. You know, it only lasts like a day.
Yeah.
It goes away and then comes back again.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get rid of it.
It caused me to miss a trip to San Jose, California this weekend, too. But I feel better, ready to travel now.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, tell us what's going on.
Well, it has slowed down some in the cold, But we found the little evidence down there on the river bottoms. They're still crawling around, the Bigfoot creatures, of course. Not heavily, though, but what was amazing is to see the stride on this thing. What we're seeing is actually impressions. We're not seeing, like, clear footprints.
No, I understand. Well, it all depends on the ground and the turf and everything.
Right.
Whether you don't always get a footprint. You get an impression, and you can tell by the size of the impression it ain't a normal thing.
Exactly.
And then you can also tell by the stride that obviously when you try to step in it and you can't reach it, obviously it's something pretty big.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We would normally get around 4 foot strides, 4 to 5. This one measured at 6 feet, and we were
wow.
very amazed with it. It was frozen mud is what it was in.
And, yeah.
Right by the river, and it was probably due to the storm that we had that was wet here the week before. It's been pretty dry lately, but we are still getting some activity in the area. It's obvious that there may be some migration to get out of this area during the winter, but there's a few that still linger on.
Sure. Well, you still have the farms around there probably have their corn mm-hmm. and other stuff, stored up, right?
Yeah, we have
in the bins.
Yeah, they have those little metal storage bins, and they feed their animals for the winter with that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not hearing any reports of that getting missing, but I'm sure some of them are being raided, maybe little by little so it doesn't seem noticeable. I think they try not to concentrate on one bin,
Sure. Well, the other thing is the farmers will throw it out there for the cattle to, they'll just take a half a truckload or whatever and go out and throw it out, for the cattle to eat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On the ground, with some hay and stuff.
Right.
And I'm sure the creatures are just about as good at picking it up as a cow might.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I had a little story. I talked to a girl here a few weeks ago, and she told me that, this actually started, the situation may have started back in 2002, 2003. I used to live in Durango, and I was mountain biking on a trail they used to call Horse Gulch. Well, they still call it Horse Gulch. It's on the south part of Durango, Colorado. What it is, it goes into a recreation area where you can ride or hike or ride your horse in there. And into like a little plateau, and then there's trails farther up on the mountain. But I had gone up through that canyon. The canyon's about a half mile long. I'm going to say about a third of a mile. It's just kind of on the steep side. It seems like it's a half mile. But I had some rocks thrown at me. In fact, during that time, they had it in their local newspaper that some people were being pelted with small pebbles, never any big rocks, just small pebbles, and it was assumed that homeless people were doing that, and that's what I thought, too, because that happened to me one day, one afternoon. I was riding up there, and sure enough, I got the pebbles thrown at me, and I didn't get hit. It seemed like they were in front of me and behind me, but I didn't actually get hit. I even yelled up there, say, hey, come on, guys, stop it, I didn't want to really be angry. I thought, well, maybe they're just despondent people, and they just, want to harass people. You wouldn't hear any laughing. You wouldn't hear anything. In fact, it was very silent after it happened, and I just didn't put two and two together. I said, well, other than just being homeless people, because there were some small caves in that area as well that they were talking about. In fact, in the paper, they said that there were caves just above that canyon, and they said they were going to make a sweep sometime, the local law enforcement, and see if they could basically just kindly run them out of that area because it's considered private land and federal land too. So, years have gone by, and I also play as a musician, and I was playing over at our local casino nearby Farmington, and this gal needed a ride back home, so I gave her a ride, and we just happened to be talking about Bigfoot, and she told me, she got quiet, and when I told her about that rock incident, she says, you know what? Those weren't people. She says, those were Bigfoot. I was kind of astonished. I said, what? I've never heard of Bigfoot being that close to town, in the city limits. She goes, my mother lives right by Horse Gulch, and those were Bigfoot, Dave. She says, those were not homeless people. She says, she said that she had heard about, the police wanting to do a sweep around there, and it's true. I never heard anything about that. It just kind of went quiet after that. I'm kind of wondering if maybe the police did find something else in evidence or maybe even saw them and they just wanted to just hush it up after that.
It was amazing, isn't it?
But it was kind of an amazing story because I started realizing, I said, putting two and two together, I did get pelted with rocks forward and backwards. And it was very much like Bigfoot activity, thinking back on it.
Right.
And I guess dozens of people had rocks thrown at them like that, pebbles, not really big rocks.
Yeah, so I understand.
We all, several, you know, quite a few people would have the encounter and didn't even think about it. It was really quite mundane. It wasn't a scary encounter. There wasn't any smells, just rocks. And I would imagine if there really were homeless people and there were Bigfoot there that the gal described, those people probably didn't stay there very long.
Probably not.
And it kind of made sense too that there's a sonic drive-in right there, just at the end of the canyon, at the mouth of the canyon, a drive-in there, and you know, naturally they throw food away, a certain amount in their trash. So I would think, yeah, well, there'd be a food source right there immediately.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So I may just, when once it warms up again back in spring, I may do a little investigation and see if there's any still, if they're still around, or if there may be any light evidence that there could have been some. Creature
sure.
activity.
Are you still active with Linda?
Brenda?
Brenda? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, she's given me just a, you know, she was the one that alerted me about the footprints.
Wow, that's and, pretty
and, yeah, they're still hearing some screams once in a while, some yells in the valley, but they're so scattered right now, you know, it's hard to go rush over there and pinpoint where they're at. By the time that they finish screaming, they could be, you know, hundreds of yards or even a mile or two away, so it's just...
Sure.
It's just so scattered.
I understand.
Yes.
Well, gosh, I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, you bet.
As always, we appreciate everything you do for us.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that, too.
You've been with us now for, God, for how long?
Oh,
5 years, 6 years? Not 6 years,
at least
7 years.
Yeah, starting at 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah, heard about you since 2004.
Yep.
I've got to meet these guys. And hey, I'm so glad to be right there with you guys.
Well, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. You too. Merry Christmas to you too, and everybody else out there listening.
Okay. Well, you're going to hang on to the end, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm going to mute you out, and we're going to go back in here. We're going to talk to Theron.
Great. Looking forward to listening to him.
Take care, Dave.
Okay. You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. Next, we're going to go out to Choctaw Reservation and talk to our good buddy, Theron. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Marco Bill.
It's nice to hear you, buddy.
Yeah, things are pretty quiet here, and we haven't had any activity since this summer, you know, and I'm expecting... some kind of activity because it seems like in winter months, about this time of the year, the creatures seem to, you know, come out around my mother's home. So I'm keeping a vigil, and my mom is too. So she hasn't had anything unusual happening, but. Mm-hmm. I tell you, about a year and a half, a couple of years ago, there was a lot of activity, you know,
yeah.
And a lot of...
Well, you said you had a story. You said you had a story that you had heard recently?
Pardon?
In the last few months here, you had somebody had told you a story of what was going on?
Oh, yeah. We've had... some stories, the encounters, and the last one is that the lady, she lives across town, and she said that she's seen this creature ever since she was a little girl, and every
Holy
now
smokes.
And then they have. Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes!
Yeah,
it's a long. Yeah, so she's been seeing it for a long time, huh?
For a long time, and. She said that the first time she saw it, she was a little girl, and they had a vegetable garden in the back of the house, and the creature was in the garden eating the vegetables. But they have pear trees in the back, and every now and then they saw it, the creature, you know, just eating pears, you know, and every now and then she says that... the creature does come and eat the pears. I think that the last time I talked to her, maybe 2-3 months ago, she said that some people had been walking through the wooded area near her house, and there was this the hole, a big hole in the ground, you know, and it looked like it's been in, you know, inhabited by some creature, you know. So we haven't investigated that yet, but the hole, I understand the hole is still there. But,
like a bedding area, huh?
Yeah. So me and Mac decided we're going to go out there and check it out whenever Mac is, you know, when he's able to. But sure. The lady said I think it was last year, we asked her, when's the last time you had an encounter with a creature? And she said about 6 weeks ago, which this is last year. And I asked her what happened. She said she was washing dishes in the kitchen, and there's a window above the sink, kitchen sink, and when she was washing dishes, she smelled something. And when she looked up, there was a creature looking inside the house. As soon as she looked up, it ran away. But she says that every now and then, you know, the creature comes through her area. So it's an ongoing thing there. But my cousin in Standing Pine a few months ago, they had a sighting behind his house. And it's pretty close to a church, a graveyard where my father is buried. And he said that the kids, they saw something, and they reported it, and they looked out there, and it was walking across the backyard. And when they all got out and to look at it, it was walking into the woods, and they saw this real big, dark, hairy creature just, you know, just ambling by, you know, and just walked right into the woods. So right after that, Mac, you know Mac, he said he was driving near that area, and he had a sighting.
Oh, that was his encounter, too, huh? That's where he had his encounter, same place.
Yeah,
that's pretty neat.
About a few miles outside. So the creatures are still around. I mean, people are reporting in it, and last year was the people were just reporting it left and right, you know. And here at my house, here about a mile from here, there's nothing but homes, you know. And the creatures walking through the neighborhood, you know.
Wow.
And you think that these creatures, you know, elusive, but you know, last year we had these creatures walking around. My friend Gary, he had 3 sightings, and he came home, woke me up about after midnight. He was really excited, and he said, "Guess what I saw?" I said, "What'd you see?" He said, "I saw this creature standing by the elementary school, by the bridge, and he said the color of it was orange." And he said he drove right by it, and the creature never did run away or turn away. It just stood there, and he drove by. He said after he drove by, he decided he'd drive back and see what it is again, and it was already gone. So we've had a lot of activities here last year and this year too, so I'm expecting more encounters. People come over here and call me. People, you know, come to my house and you know, just talk to me about it. And
sure.
I had someone ask me about it today. So yeah, people are interested. And the one of the most interesting things about the encounters and sightings is, we have on the Choctaw Reservation, we have 2 big casinos right across each other, and the casino parking lot, this lady came to my house and told me that her and her son was going to town, which is about 3 miles down the road, and it was broad daylight, about 3:30 in the afternoon, and this small creature ran across the road. She said, this creature was so fast, it just zoomed right by, you know, all the cars and such. I think that she said that there were other cars coming and going because of the casino, people coming and going all the time, and it ran into the woods between the casino parking lot, and there's a pawn shop just right across the little creek there. It ran right into the woods toward the elementary school there. So that was a real interesting story that she told me. And I talked to her not long ago, and she said that was the, did you see any, did you have any more sightings lately? And she said, no, that was the only time that I've seen a creature like that. And she was pretty well excited when she came to the house and talked to me about it. And I think people never talked about it here. I mean, people know that these creatures exist, but nobody says anything. But I give credit to Tom and his crew. When they came to the Choctaw Reservation, they brought along their trailer. The trailer's got the logo, Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, people would stop and tell Tom, you know, their encounters or their experiences, you know. So we had a store in Philadelphia, Mississippi, you know, started selling Bigfoot. Philadelphia, Mississippi had that Bigfoot, you know, that the same kind of picture that Bigfoot Incorporated has, you know. And they were selling it on T-shirts. So, yeah, and... We've got Bigfoot evidence. We've got pictures of really, really clear Bigfoot footprints in the mud.
Yeah.
The guy that lives about 2 or 3 miles across, right across the road from where I live, I guess he and his son went fishing by the lake, and they found several footprints in the mud, and they took a picture and then placed the shoe next to it to give you the idea how big the footprints was. It was a very clear big footprint, you know. So
wow.
We got the footprints. We got and the other thing is my cousin Navian. He got a footage. This was last year, and
video.
And we all looked at it, and the people from the Fish and Game and Wildlife Department looked at it too, and they were telling me it's a bear, it's a black bear, but it wasn't a black bear. We studied it real hard, and black bears aren't red or orange.
Right.
This was a reddish orange creature that was standing there, you know, and it just turned around and. It moved its head back and forth to the right, and finally turned and walked back into the wooded area there. And you know, Marco, Bill, you know, the bears don't walk like a man. You know, the thing about it was it didn't have a flat face. It was kind of snouty. You know, the face was protruded out. To me, it was, you know, but the Fish and Game and Wildlife person said it was black bear, but no. And then me and Mac and this other fella, Jay, we went out through the woods near where the video was taken, and Mac was, they found a lair, and they were videotaping the lair, and then he inadvertently got a footage of the creature. And,
yeah, that's what I heard. In fact, I'm going to be looking at that video here.
Yeah. Anyway, if you looking at the video, you can see the legs walking through the thicket area, and then you see it stick his head out behind a tree a couple of times, and then he walks out from behind the tree and standing there. So that's the very same creature that my cousin Navian got earlier before. Mm-hmm. So.
Gosh, you got a lot of stuff going on down there, Toronto.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a howling. I heard it not long before all these activities took place around my mama's house. It was like 2:30 in the morning, and I was watching the movie, and I decided to go outside and take the fresh air, and I heard this. Incredible how it was loud. It was very loud, and it was long, and I was wondering, is there some drunk guy, you know,
right.
in the woods, you know? I heard it twice, you know, and then a few weeks later, that's when my sister, my nieces, and my mother had the sightings, and
sure.
My sister saw a group of them. It looked like she was telling me that it looked like a mama and daddy, and there's a couple of them, smaller ones, and when she was driving up the driveway at my mother's house, she could see the eyes shine. You know, their eyes were shining from the car headlights, and she saw it for a few seconds, and they walked off really fast.
Wow.
You know, the big one moved away, and then the next big one moved away, and then two smaller ones followed them, you know. And then she said, I had another sighting again. That day when my mother and my niece saw it walk across the yard, that night she was coming back from the casino, and just before she got to a turnoff to my mom's driveway, she said, this deer ran across the road right in front of her, and she was focusing on the deer, and all of a sudden this big creature was running after the deer.
Wow.
And she said she had to step on the brake to keep from hitting the creature. But a few nights later, she was coming back from that same area, and she saw the creature with the deer on his shoulder and walking into the woods.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and Tom and his crew came just about that time.
Sure.
And they found a lair. Just down the hill from where the creature was. My sister was telling me that the creature was walking into the woods with a deer on his shoulder. They found this lair.
Mm-hmm.
And the lair, it was a big tree, a pine tree that had fallen, and it had a lot of limbs, and apparently the creature was making a bedding in that area, between that big pine tree, and Tom was telling me, he said, look, see, the limbs were broken off. But it was broken off. It was twisted off, you know, to make this little shelter area. And they explained that to me. That's a lair, and I wouldn't have known if they didn't explain it to me, because they showed me how these limbs that probably 2, 3, 4 inches in diameter, it was literally just broken, twisted off, you know, to make this bedding here.
Jerome, I'm running running a little bit late right now.
Yeah.
And what we can do is I'll bring you back on the share time after I got two more guests to go here. And thanks, I want to thank you for coming on. But we'll bring you on to talk some more about it here on at the end part. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on. And you got a lot of stuff going on, Thoreau. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me meet you out here, and we'll get out there, and we'll get out to Anthony.
Yeah.
Take care, Theron. Theron, Merry Christmas to your family and everybody, okay?
All right, thanks.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Theron from Choctaw Reservation. Next, we're going to go out here to Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, how are you?
Doing great, Marco Bill. Hope everybody's doing well over there.
Well, what's going on in your area there? Besides
well, happened to be out this past Sunday.
Yeah.
And, well, we went to an area that had been to before, and, you know, and as you can recall, there have been people following us. This time I decided to go to another area where I'd been before, and I had a very quick sighting. Didn't last long. And while I was out there, it seemed like there was a creature up in a tree, and the only thing that, the only reason why I happened to look in that direction is because, from the corner of your eye, you see something moving or whatever. And
right.
And so I just happened to look, and I see, something dark climbing down. But the thing was with that, this creature was at a good distance. I mean, by the time that thing, would have made the ground, I wouldn't have been, halfway there, that's how far away it was. But, probably, something that was real interesting was, not but a minute after that, me looking in that direction, I don't know if it's the same clowns or not. I'm going to suspect that they are. I hear what sounds like four-wheelers starting up in the distance. And, so I just kind of stood where I was and tried to engage the direction they were going in. But it seemed like they were going towards, where the creature was. But, they made a turn somewhere and I could see that they were going in the wrong direction. So, that made me happy. I certainly wasn't going to tell them where it was. But I never did see the four wheel. Like I said, I heard it being cranked up and then I heard it, riding in the woods, but I just wanted to sit put to see if I can see who these.
Sure.
I don't know if it's one or two, but I'm assuming it's two only because of the pictures that I got on the game camera. But they kind of made a turn and then the noise started to fade away and they were just literally going almost in the opposite direction where I just seen the creature. So.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Well, if they're going the opposite direction, that means they didn't have too good of a direction.
Like I said, even with me trying to be quiet it's kind of weird, you always hear of the paparazzi, how they follow stars around, anything like that. I mean, I'm not a celebrity by any means, but at the same time, it's getting comical, but it's also getting annoying,
No, I understand. I understand where you come from. People are trying to get a free ride.
Yeah, just like that idiot with his fake body.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that, I forgot that character on PBS, it's a song that never ends, I got a body, but, you got to wait. I got a body, you got to wait.
Right. that's still going on.
Yeah.
Well, heck, thank you for coming and sharing with us tonight. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and Tom.
We're going to go to Rocky and Swede. And then when we're done with that, we're going to go on to the little open-end thing here on the end here and maybe do some sharing with different questions and things.
I'll be here.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Anthony from Virginia giving us an update in his area. Now we're going to go out here to Rocky and Swede. And how are you, Rocky? How are you, Swede? I'm doing good. Slade, how are you feeling today?
Oh, it's probably like I was when I was about 30.
Yeah, well, I got a story to tell.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I figured you would.
Okay, me and Slade was, we were going through the woods, I don't remember what day it was, Saturday. I think it was Saturday. And, with the side of the mountain that we was on, I don't guess it's ever seen sunlight. Well, it was just slick as snot. I was riding right next to the upside, and wasn't paying any attention to Swede. Well, there where we were was having to do a whole bunch of switchbacks because it was so slick and everything. Well, I went off down the way and made a switchback, and as I was coming up the trail, I saw a guy on a four-wheeler. He was getting up off the ground and walking over and trying to get his four-wheeler up on four wheels. And I was thinking to myself, that looks just like the Swede. I rode up there, and sure enough, it was the Swede. Well, I said, I asked him. He kind of rubbing a little bit. I said, are you okay? And he said, well, you know, said, define okay. And I said, no broken bones? And he said, no. And I said, well, what happened? He said that he found a shortcut. Well, he rolled his four-wheeler sideways all the way down to the bottom of the hill and got ahead of me. That's
yeah, there wasn't no going back up. It's definitely going down.
Oh, man. Hey, you guys are out there in the it's kind of cold out there. The last few days, right?
Yeah, it's been pretty cold out there. It wasn't too awful bad the last couple, but yeah, we've had some bad weather here.
Yeah, we got cold. We had to exercise a little bit of our survival skills, and that we have talked about on the show on Footnotes, because after trying to get over there where we were headed to, we got wet from pretty good head to toe there in the ice and snow and slipping and falling and rolling and all of that good stuff. And why don't you tell them, Rocky, what the reasoning was why we were going over there to that particular ridge?
I guess it was I got out there Friday night. And, anyhow, the Swede was telling me that he had heard something the night before, said he couldn't explain at all what it sounded like. He was kind of saying it's kind of like trying to tell a blind man what the color red looks like. It just had to be there. Well, later on that night, I guess it was, hell, I guess it was almost midnight.
Mm-hmm, after 11.
Well, we heard something. It was a real high-pitched, it was almost a squeal, but it was a long, long squeal, and it wasn't anything like I've ever heard before. It was, I mean, certainly wasn't a hog or anything like that, but it wasn't as high pitched a squeal as a hog would do, but it just seemed like it went on for a long time. But and then, you know, there'd be a little break, and then it would do it again, and so the next day we tried to get out to the area where it was at, and we. Oh, it was absolute hell trying to get there. It was just, I mean, bluffs, just almost impassable. And just like he said, we were covered in mud. We was soaked to the
to the skin from trying to bust through the river. And anyhow, we never could get up on that particular area. So when we got back, the Swede got busy and got us a fire going. And of course, there where we were camping, we had lots and lots of pine, and a lot of it was really dry pine. And so in about 10 minutes, it had that's why it warmed up overnight. It was because he had such a damn hot fire going. But
but we did. We had to fashion us. We fashioned us a little clothesline with some of our always carry paracord, and draped the coveralls on there, and got everything kind of dried off some, and I was going to get down to close to, 15 degrees during the nighttime. It's pretty cold, still a lot of ice and snow on the ground, a lot of it, and it's just cold anyway. And I had done it in the past, but I'd kind of forgot about it and hadn't done it in a while. We hadn't been out in the real cold trying to get prepped up for the spring thing, checking our areas out. And there was a gentleman, I don't know, I saw it on the world news. I don't know if he was in somewhere in the west out there. He got stranded during that last blizzard and turned his Jeep over with some kids and stuff, and he had taken and warmed some rocks up on a fire and carried them rocks up inside that Jeep and kept them youngins warming overnight before somebody found them. We had heard a bunch of sand rock around there on that old hillside there where we were camping at, and I warmed some of those rocks up around that fire. We just had a real quick hot fire, limb fire. We put it out before it got dark so we would have, we always do cold at night, no light, no fire, but we warmed our stuff up, and I carried some of them rocks in there, put them in the ground, and kind of scratched me out a spot and put them hot rocks down in there and put them pine needles and stuff back on there under our little shelter. And boy, I tell you what, I slept like I was in a, and it was just nice and warm. I rolled over there and seen Rocky throwing his out. I guess he'd had enough. He was already too hot with his little foot warmers and hand warmers he had had in his possession with him, so he throwed his rocks out. But I kept mine in there with me, and it made a big difference on keeping the chill off during the night. Kind of got where you could get your body heat back up a little bit without having to sleep on a fire, so it worked real well, actually.
That's pretty good.
The hand warmers and I had the foot warmers, and I had them stuck in the pockets of my sweatpants and all that. I slept good. I slept really good until the hollering started. Once it stopped, I went back to sleep, but I stayed pretty roasty and toasty. It was a whole lot warmer than it was when I was out there to start with. And it hadn't been too awful bad since then. I just got in just probably 10 minutes before I called in.
Yeah.
But
had an experience.
I heard after the Swede came back in, and he had work to catch up on, so I went ahead and I stayed out till tonight. And I heard the hollering one more time, but it was, the next night. But it was, wasn't the long drawn out ones. It was just little short ones. But it did it like 6 or 7 times in different areas. But I was never able to get where I needed to be to look for tracks or anything, because it was so slick that, couldn't do it on the four-wheeler, and then when I decided I was just going to leave the four-wheeler down in the bottom and climb up it, I climbed part of the way up several times, but always ended up down at the bottom again. But I wasn't looking for shortcuts.
Let's open it up for everybody else.
How'd the bait do, Rocky, after it warmed up today? Did you have any Did you see anything besides the hog tracks and the...
I saw hog tracks. Saw hog tracks and I saw a hog.
I saw. Oh, great. Did you get a chance to look down the barrel at him, or did you just let him go?
Well, I started to, but he was a little bit too far for Otis.
I see.
Yeah.
You know, Rocky likes to carry that old single shot. You know, Otis, there's a big story behind that thing anyway, but I'm glad you got to see something see something like that. We're hoping that we're going to get some more activity going on over there. We'll have one more little weekend season, Marco, of some deer hunters, and if it's real extreme, probably won't have many people out there. There was nobody out there for the muzzle loading season. We never saw a soul during all that ice and snow. I guess they decided to stay home. We got one more right at Christmas there. You know, right after Christmas, there's a couple of days of rifle season there for Christmas, and that'll be the end of it. And then we'll be back out there for sure to see what we can come across and see if we're going to see any more activity and start checking the river bottoms and start running our regular routine and get our baits going out a little. We'll have them out there. We're going to keep up with that and see what we do for spring. You know, we'll get ready. Won't be really spring. We're just really getting into winter, but we're starting to, we try to, you know, end of December after all the hunting goes away, where it really starts to get kind of left alone. That's when we like to get out there, and then we'll do a little bit of late this winter type thing, and then we'll give it up until back till August again and go back out during the prime time in August. That seems to be our area, but we're looking great forward to doing it. Didn't see any tracks or anything, but the vocalizations that we heard, I would just, you know, I would say that wasn't nobody, and it wasn't nothing that I've ever heard before. And if it's a creature, he's got a really cool vocabulary, and I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah. Well, let's open it up for everybody. Let's find out you know, other people have probably heard vocalizations as well. We got Dave, Teron, we got Snake Man, and Anthony.
Marco, there's one thing that I need to explain.
Sure.
About black bears.
Yeah.
Black bear, the term black bear isn't in reference to a color. They're the majority are black. But black bears can be red. Black bears can be honey cinnamon colored. They can be almost blonde. Black bears are a lot of different colors. The black bear is kind of like a grizzly bear. They're not grizzly. That's the name they have.
Right, and no, so, I understand.
Yeah.
They're a smaller version of a...
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see a black bear out there that's not even close to black. And that's just something that I needed to put out there.
Well, the thing is most, you know, most everybody, when you tell them that you saw one of these creatures, the very first thing they say is it was a black bear or a bear.
Right.
And the thing is, bears don't normally walk on two.
Right.
I mean, they'll stand up and they will, you know, rub against the trees and they will take a couple of steps, but they don't run under 2 feet.
They rarely make more than a few steps on their hind feet. But the color, the term black bear is just kind of a
species specific.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah, different parts of the country, you'll see a lot of times, you know, the animals are not necessarily the same, exact same, let's say, all over. In other words, different hair colors and other attributes that are, you know, the same species, but it's just a little different, you know, type of thing.
Right. Well, that was just like the Hobbit. Now, he was a true black bear. He was black. Mm-hmm. But that one that we saw over by the Swede's house wasn't black. I mean, sure. it was a black bear, but it was almost honey colored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big old dude too.
Yeah. So you know that can throw you off too.
Oh sure. Well, my only experience with something like that was out deer hunting and rabbit hunting as a kid, and my brother and I were both out together. And there's this great big old brush pile, okay? And we ran a rabbit into the brush pile. And so we jumped up on top of the brush pile and started jumping up and down in the brush. Little did we know that inside that brush pile, there was a bear sleeping.
Yeah, that was not a good
thing. Now, thank goodness it was sleeping, because when it woke up, it wasn't too fast. It was kind of sluggish and slow, but I want to tell you, there's nothing scarier in your life than something like that happening. You're expecting a little bitty rabbit.
Gone.
Yeah, a little bitty rabbit coming out and waiting for it, and all of a sudden you hear this growl and this roar.
You decided you didn't want that rabbit,
yeah.
Huh?
No. Well, we forfeited the rabbit for a good run.
You know something, Rocky, we need to share with everybody too. You know, I've spoke about that, about the moonlight thing too. And you know, our night trip was very uneventful. We had full moon all this, you know, this last little bit while we were out there. It was pretty much the full moon for all of this Wednesday.
Flat.
It was almost full, and it's been full all along. And the moon coming up right at sunset and bright all night. We didn't have any cloud cover. It was clear and cold. And it was on that white ground. You could see through the woods without any night vision, just like it was broad daylight. And we tromped around quite a bit, and we saw the, you know, the normal stuff there, the coons and that kind of thing. And we seen some hogs at a distance and saw some stuff with the night vision. But really, the critters weren't stirring much except right at sunset. Nothing during the night, and then right again early in the morning.
Sure.
Right at sunrise is when we saw stuff, and then we saw quite a bit during the day. We saw a lot of deer and a lot of hogs and stuff stirring around during the midday time. But that moon phase again I noticed that, you know. Well, did you notice, Rocky? We were talking about that, how it was just dead at night, nothing.
Yeah.
And, hey, y'all, this is a snake.
Yeah,
I got a question. This is for Rocky and Swede. When you all heard the vocalizations, did you hear any tree knocking?
No.
No. And
no,
it was still quiet too, Snake Man. I mean, you could hear a leaf just rolling across that frozen ice. You know, it had been thawed and refrozen. You could hear that leaf rolling across it. It was so still. But
it
sounded like
that. It started out to the southwest of us. And over a period of time, it moved all the way around to where it was kind of northwest of us.
Yeah, well, I heard it was kind of on that east side, on that ridge over there, Rocky, all that way around it.
Mm.
Yeah, it was kind of a throaty, kind of a squealing sound, sort of like a, I don't know, it didn't sound like anything I ever heard. I told Rocky about it. I said, man, I can't even describe it to you, something. It was long-winded, and it just kept on going. It kind of was kind of squealed on out there, you know, and it just squealed, it just fade down like it was just running out of gas, you know. And then it'd do it again, just in a, just pretty quick behind it, not like a coyote, nothing like that. Not like a bear, not like a hog squeal. Kind of like a hog squeal, but a different tone.
I've never heard it.
It was really something. I'm not sure if I've ever heard a vocalization. We've heard whoops before out there and that kind of stuff, but I've never heard anything like that. It was really something. And then Saturday night, Friday night, we heard it, it was about 11 o'clock, 11:30, somewhere in there is when we heard it again, and Rocky was like, what the hell was that? I said, that's what I'm telling you about. And it did it again. It was just like two or three times in a row, big, long, drawn out. It was very drawn out. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard anything like that, like so drawn out like that, like just hollered till it run out of air. It was a pretty cool experience. I don't know if anybody's heard anything like that, you know.
Well, that last night, it was just little short things. I mean, just whoo, kind of like that.
Yeah, more whoopee?
Yeah, it did it four or five times, but it sounded like the same critter. It just
different.
Had something else to say, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, what did everybody think about Janine and her experience in Germany? Her description of the creature, the smell, all of that stuff.
That was pretty cool. I bet it was pretty exciting at the age of 10. I don't, you know, that would be something that definitely would stick in your head.
Well,
yeah.
And here's the thing. I went in there and I got this, you know, this guy that was a, I don't know what he was. He was a German, noble of some sort, you know, where they owned all the property and stuff. You know,
yeah.
In Europe, they owned all the property, and peasants weren't allowed to hunt. Only the nobles were allowed to hunt, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And this was in the France, through the swampy areas of France and stuff, right next to Germany. And that's where he had his experience. And his write-up of that experience was almost exactly to what Janine described. And what Janine described is pretty much what we've all had described to us many, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought it was kind of unique. So, there's another.
Yeah, it was cool about what she experienced about the smell, you know.
Yeah.
I always recall the smell. That was something that we did, that we got onto while we were out on our expedition. We didn't smell, you know, a Bigfoot type of thing, but boy, there was, you would think, you know, as wintery as it is, that there wouldn't be so much scent in the air, but there was a lot of scent in the air. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You could really pick up on the smells because the air was so clean, you know, you could just pick up on the littlest thing. You could smell oak tree, you know, you could smell bark, and, I mean, you know, like where something's been dug,
sure.
And them old trees, you could smell it from a long ways off. It was kind of cool. She was describing that kind of a rotteny smell, you know, That's it. Well, I'll tell you, it's a very unique odor. You just never forget it.
Now, Anthony, did you have the same, you've had some different experiences with howls and cries and things like that?
Was yeah, there have been quite a few occasions. The more recent one was when I was visiting East Coast Jack. You know, we had went to two different locations and twice in that same evening, we made two recordings with them. It almost sounded, you know, kind of like maybe a woman screaming. It sounded almost feminine-like, but, you know, maybe, you know, kind of like a mixture, like a woman screaming or maybe like a peacock cry, you know, the way it just screamed, you know, I mean, both locations, you just heard that loud screeching sound, you know, and there was some lower audible, you know, but almost sounded like owl sounds, but they weren't owls, you know, like woo, 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 you know, it was, you know, oh, you know, it was kind of lower than that, but again, in both locations, that loud screeching sound. Was pretty impressed because we were close to it, you know.
Yeah,
well, we definitely wasn't owls or anything like that. And
no, I'm saying it sounded like an owl. I you know, like you
well,
know,
it,
like
it anything I've ever heard.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. I've never heard anything like it, Anthony. It was just a very unique deal, and the way it just like it just kind of resonated. I mean, you know. It's kind of hard. You can kind of hear, you know, and tell where something, about how far something is away. You know, it sounded like it was fairly close, but you could tell it was a long ways away, but it was just the modulation of it. You know, I mean, it was just piercing the atmosphere to where it was just, you could just really pick up on it. It was amazing. But, of course, it was real still. You know, no leaves on, no wind or nothing. It was real calm. But, boy, it was really something. It was like almost, you know, like Rocky tried to record it, you know, and Rocky's like, he's a monkey on a football with his phone. He don't know. He's like me. We don't know what to do with our phone. He's trying to get it recorded, and it's not working, you know?
So well, you
couldn't get to record it. We could have picked
Dave,
up
what about Dave Ortiz? What about you?
I'm here.
Yeah, some of the vocalizations that you've heard.
Oh, a lot
similar.
Of
anything similar to that? What they're describing?
What I've heard is like in this area is a lot of whoops, a howling, sometimes like that monkey howling sound, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
that's kind of like what it was, you know, up there where we've been at, Dave. It was kind of like before. It's been like short whoops, you know, loud whoops, you know, really crispy whoops. But
yeah,
this was more like a kind of song dogging, you know, kind of like a dog would start to howl, sort of like that, but and then just like go with that breath, you know, like if you were just gonna just holler until you run out of gas, you know. It was like that. It was pretty drawn out. It was drawn out. You know, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know, maybe it was only maybe 5 or 6 seconds long, but that's, you know, that's just so much more longer than the whoops were. I mean, it was really, really loud and drawn out, throaty sound, but more like a when I say throaty and drawn out, but you know what I mean, like a kind of a squealy sound, you know, maybe like kind of like a peacock kind of a thing like that.
Right.
It Rocky and Sweet, Marco Bill, I had sent him a copy of the recording that I had made. You know, he could either forward it to you, or you know what, you could, Mark Bill, you can pass him along my email, and
sure,
and I could send them a copy of my recording, and you know, they can tell me if that's pretty much similar to what they heard. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, yeah. Ferran, how about you, my friend?
Well, the only vocalization I've heard was that too long, it just sounded like, ooh, I mean, it just long.
Oh, I heard that.
And it was, it did it twice. And I was wondering, what in the world, because it's really, really loud. So those are the things that I heard here a couple of years ago. And
well,
that's about the time these creatures started appearing.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all in agreement that it was really, really loud. And you know what we've heard has always been really loud, but you know, that's what I was saying earlier. It's kind of like trying to tell a blind man what the color red looks like. There's no way that we can really explain what it sounded like. It just, I mean, it was so totally different than anything that I've ever heard before, ever.
Yeah,
you know, I've lived in this area all my life.
I understand it. Well, hey, what I'd like to do, everybody, I wanted to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I want
thank
to thank,
you.
Each
thank you.
And every one of you for
thank
all
you.
Your participation this year. God bless your families, and I hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas. And, okay?
Well, thank Merry you. Christmas to my family to you guys.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
To all our listeners out there, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting, and we'll see, well, I won't see you next week. Probably see you on New Year's Day in the evening.
Okay,
good
all
night
right.
Now, everybody.
Marco Bill.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Thank
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. And answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts.